travel at speeds pushing 200 miles per hour. The very best drivers in the world putting their lives on the line every week. It's time to get the lowdown on this week's contenders, plus a look at the key driver matchups. Right now, on Gone Racing.
And welcome in, everybody, to the fabulous VSiN studio here at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa. Brendan Gaughan, and a special, very special guest this weekend. We got rid of Motley. You know what happens when you do well in the Gaughan Racing betting pool? You don't get to come on next week. So we brought in the ace in the hole, Mr. Vincent Maiulo, my guys in the desert, one of the men responsible for bringing in this beautiful studio, and, of course, a hero of mine and my family forever, Mr. Vincent Maiulo.
I appreciate that. So kind. Listen, I know that there's some big shoes to fill in Mr. Tires to inflate. I don't know what the correct analogy is, but it's always great to be. You know, I get to be on Gaughan Racing a couple of times a year, and I always enjoy it. And I have to tell you, and I learned a lot more about this great sport than helps me on that side of the counter.
Listen, there's no way I know I can teach you anything. For the race fans, you know, the VSiN network is kind of unique. I mean, it's, first of all, we're a betting network inside a casino, which, as you and I, you know, I grew up, you know, emulating you and of course Chris and Jimmy and all the guys here. But this is so unique for us. And then for the racing side, which is what's great, because the race fans haven't been bettors. They didn't know about it.
Right.
So we try to break them into these things. But then when we get guys like you, for the race fans that don't know, you know, Vinny, you've been in this game 30 years, 40 years?
42 years. I'm in my 43rd year. I began my career working for your dad at his original casino on Convention Center
the
Drive.
Royal Inn Casino.
And then, of course, I was fortunate enough to go to the Barbary Coast when it opened. March 2nd, 1979, the exact day. And I was there for that. And your dad, I credit your dad oftentimes with an accomplishment that other companies have emulated here in our industry. And that was he had the first cross-training program in the casino industry. And this is what it was. It had no manuals. It had no meetings. It had
doesn't have manuals or meetings.
Well, but I'll tell you what. This is what it was. It was a mandate. It was really very simple. Make sure you're good at what I hired you for, and then go learn what you want. And, of course, I spent every break in the book, where I was quite familiar, having grown up around racetracks and the new math. Of course, the new math involved point spreads when I was when I was young. But that's for another show.
Yeah.
Then I was fortunate enough to now I work also for your brother John at Las Vegas Dissemination Company, connecting all of the casinos, including the Great South Point here, to all the racetracks around the country. So multifaceted, and again, always enjoy being with you, Brendan, and also learning more. Again, I will tell you this. NASCAR fans that I have found, especially when the races came
to Las Vegas,
Brendan, I must say, as knowledgeable as any fans in any sport that I've seen, you know, you have fans that follow their favorite NFL team, and they know about the coaching staff. They know
the
about
wide receiver staff. They know it all.
Everything. They know everything about the team.
But
exactly. But NASCAR fans, when we had the first race here in Las Vegas back in the 90s at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, they came to the counter knowing about everything from the drivers to the ownership teams to the crew and the crew chiefs, carburetors. I got into a conversation about carburetors one day, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, my goodness gracious.
Our fans, and that's what they didn't know about betting as much. They didn't understand the betting. And we're trying to teach them that.
Right.
But the scary part about our fan is they are so knowledgeable, more so than any other sport out there. They do know. I mean, our fans are fanatics.
That's absolutely.
I mean, the word fan comes from fanatic. They do know. They know a crew chief. They know the crew chief, you know, what he did. He knows that Adam Stevens, his record with Kyle Busch the year before at these tracks. He knows. They follow this sport through and through. And it made I remember Micah and old Rico Riccioli and some of the guys.
Michael Roberts,
guys would come in and bet, and they'd call me up and say, "Dear God, man, you know how tough it is to handicap a Busch race, a truck race, you know, now Xfinity." It was miserable for you guys early days.
It was tough. I mean, we'd be sitting there asking coaches to call a timeout, and then the NASCAR fans are saying, "You know, you got to pit. You have to pit. You got to do tire change.
There's no timeout for us in this one. You don't get timeouts where we come from. It's live going. Thank God we didn't have live betting back then, too, because you guys would have really been behind the
eight ball. I'd have been back in a dice pit.
Well, it is always fun to have you Vincent filling in for us. We appreciate it. Mr. Motley, everybody knows he is driving home. He had to go back to visit his mom back in Virginia, and he's doing well. I talked to him yesterday. He should be home very soon. So, Motley, be safe on the road, and we appreciate you. But once again, welcome into Gone Racing. Brendan Gaughan here with Vinny Maiulo, the famous My Guys in the Desert, and one of our favorites here to fill in for me. And, Vinny, we had a Phoenix race last weekend, and we saw a little bit of the cream that we call the cream at the top. They came back, and we've had such great winners this year, unique winners. But, you know, we had basically the guys you expect. Martin Truex Jr., 11-1 winner, plus 300 for a top three. Joey Logano, a plus 225 top three. Denny Hamlin, plus 190. You look at that. That, to me, is a lot of usual suspects up front. You still had a Kyle Larson, William Byron, Christopher Bell there in the top 10. But we've seen some this year. Me and Jeff talk all the time, Vinny. We have a lot of new winners. We have had five races with five winners this year.
Well, I think what's interesting about that, and the way I look at that from our side of the counter, Brendan, is I love the unpredictability. Oftentimes folks get involved with favorites, and the usual suspects are always
Kyle Busch is plus 225 to win a race because he's always to win a race, a 40-man horse race, a plus 225. Yeah. There's no return for that.
But the fact that there's been five races with five different winners, opening that up, and people start saying, "Wow, wait a second, let me start looking at some other prices." We're in the middle of March Madness this month, right? And everybody knows that the number one seeds are always very relevant when it comes to Final Four weekend.
Yep.
And that's fine. But there's always that Cinderella along the way, whether they get to the Final Four or not. If they get to the Sweet 16, that opens up the betting even more. So when folks know that Cinderella is still around and not just in a Disney book or a Disney movie, but can also dance at the counter and drive across the finish line.
And look, all that wild cardness meant that Martin Truex Jr., who normally is a very high favorite, was 11-1, double-digit odd to win a race.
There you go.
We've had double-digit winners every race this year.
How about at Daytona, a triple-digit winner with 100-1 McDowell? I mean, think about that. So now you put that all together and you say, okay, as we're getting further into the season, sure, folks are going to pay attention to what happened here in Hampton, Georgia previously. But you know what? They're also going to say, wait a second.
Is there another double-digit winner in our future?
Right.
Well, Vinny, Jeff and I talk a lot, and we had it up a second ago, the number of race winners this year that we have the cup standings. And remember, in our sport now, the playoffs are made. We have a statement that we say, we win, you're in.
Right.
So we're the unique sport that the whole field races in the playoffs. We don't cut the field, but we cut the people that have a chance to win the championship. But this might be the first year. If you look at this, there's five winners, five races. 26 races make up the regular season. Now, you had a stat earlier about how many wins Denny Hamlin and Kevin had combined last year. And neither of them have a win this season. Jeff and I talk about it every week. You're a guy that isn't in the sport like me and Motley. You do all the other things too. But do you think we could have a sport with a 40-man horse race every week? Can I get 16 different winners in 26 races?
Well, I guess the way the season started, yes, you can. I mean, when you brought up, so Harvick and Hamlin, they won 16 36 races last year. So, okay, so you say, wow, that's under 50, a little under 50%. But the fact of the matter is, to start the season with five different winners and a couple of them, paying double and triple digits at the betting counter, I think that's going to make a good, it's certainly good business for us, but it makes folks take a pause and say, you can call it parity, you can call what are the reasons for it? But whatever the reasons are, that's what folks are going to migrate to, in addition to saying, okay, look, let me find that horse for the course. Who's in current form? Where are they? Are they relevant? Have they been relevant in these five races? Oh, by the way, let's remember this. Yeah, there's those guys. There's those five different winners again, and paying nice prices.
And the stat we have up, if you're watching on the VSiN, feed, we have up guys that aren't even in the playoffs right now.
Right.
Alex Bowman, race winner from last year. Ryan Newman, a perennial playoff guy, maybe not a winner, but a perennial playoff guy. Eric Almirola, race winner last year. Matt DiBenedetto, a guy that I think will win this season still. He won he didn't win last year, but I think he's on the cusp of winning. You have these guys still out that could win races. We could see the first year that we actually get to say, Not winning, you're in. You know, you might win and you might be out of the playoffs.
I think you bring up an interesting question, because if we had 16 races, right? What happens if there's 17?
Yeah.
But what if we get outside of that box? Explain, Brandon, look, you have this possibility, right? The way the season has started. Now, somebody could get on a roll. I get it.
It happens. They get hot.
But you start thinking about, wait a minute, wait, what if we get 17, 18?
You could end up, Michael McDowell won Daytona. You said that the triple-digit winner, right. Michael McDowell, he wins Daytona. Everybody goes, oh, my God, Michael McDowell's in the playoffs. Well, hold on. All of a sudden, you get 17 winners. Now it goes back to points.
Okay.
Who is higher up in points?
Mm-hmm.
If Michael McDowell is last of those guys in points, guess what? He won the Daytona 500. He didn't make the playoffs. That would just be heartbreaking for that poor front row team. But that possibility is there, and I think that's what, once again, eyeballs to the sport. This whole thing about betting, about what we're trying to do, and it doesn't matter if you're football, basketball, baseball, hockey, you want eyeballs on your sport. Betting increases these eyeballs.
Oh.
But this is what, when you say I have this many different winners, how many guys, I think it's awesome what we have going right now, and as a non-normal NASCAR guy with you next to me, it even makes you look at this and go, hey, who the hell was that?
Right.
And you start going through stats.
I'll tell you, so, and from our side of the counter, you know, for guys like myself and Jimmy Vaccaro and Chris Andrews, and we've been in this industry for, you know, I guess combined probably about 130 years, just to date ourselves a little bit. But
did you say, you know, 130?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jimmy's about 45. You know, Christy and I have been about 43 years. So, you know, you look at all those and you're sitting there going, wow, look at the, you know. But the reason I bring it up is because we've had to be, so you got the hospital, right? And you've got the general practitioner. You've got the head surgeon. But guess what? You get to be the specialist. Get to be, you know, the orthopedic surgeon and say, you know what, I'm going to just zero in on
it. My dad would be so proud.
Your dad, well,
right,
yeah, see that, Michael? By the way, he's going back to medical school. So
you don't want me to cut him. I don't want me to cut
well,
him.
Well, not when the race is on. But the point is, we've got to follow all of the sports. And here's the thing. You know, we've got to – what I learned years ago was to take advantage – of our staff. And by that I mean this. And again, there's a lot of new operators out there that I hope are watching Gone Racing as well right now too, because not just for the fans and for the bettors, but when you're an operator, maybe you can garner a little bit of something. And if something I say or Chris or Jimmy says, tuck it away because it may come back to help you. Get a member of your staff that can be a specialist. I remember, especially during the early part of football, and we had football would start, but what do you have? You have baseball that went to the 40-man rosters. And all of a sudden, you see, you know, everybody's focused on football, but yet all of a sudden, you start getting crushed in baseball. Why? Because these guys got called up, which team is out, who already clinched, and things like that. So I would dedicate a staff member to say, your focus is, I want lineups, I want who's in, who's out, who's playing with new lineups and looking towards next year.
When we started a bit more bigger on NASCAR, you know, back when Bert was here even,
yeah,
you know, and when Chris and you guys, Bert would come, Chris would come and say, hey, who do we got, you know,
exactly.
I remember looking at some early numbers from back in the day going, whoa, whoever made this odd, you're way off. We got to change these.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you got to have that specialty guy, because NASCAR, the fans, they're specialists.
They know.
They're going to come get you. Come get you.
Anytime we have these, especially when the races are here, Brendan, because, you know, we do the most NASCAR business.
The races are here.
Listen.
The handle's up, what, 60%, 70%?
Oh, easy. I remember the days when we booked two races a year. Two auto races a year. One was Daytona. The other one was the Indy Circuit and Indy 500. And that was it. But once we got the race here, then we started putting up the entire circuit. I'm glad we did. It's been a beautiful addition to the betting menu. And then, of course, all the propositions that go with it. But with that, you've got to have somebody that – listen, we'll go back and I'll say, or Tom, but first of all, my first question is this. Is Brendan in town this weekend? No. Okay, well, I'm going to get him on his cell phone now, just so we know. But we do so much more business with the races here, especially the South Point 400, because the folks are here. And when they can go to the event and have the option and the opportunity to wager on the race and have a ticket in their hand, so they got a, they have their entry ticket in one hand, and
they,
then they've got
a phone in the other,
and they've got this. They've got the betting at their fingertips. So it's added to it, and it'll continue to grow. And again,
and all these states.
Now
you can go to these other states and have your app. When you go to, you know, Atlanta this weekend's a bad example, but when you're in Dover, Delaware, when you're in I think Kentucky, when you're in, you know, hey, guess what? You pull these babies out, you can bet from
Tennessee now.
I talked to some people, you know, a couple weeks ago where they were at the Speedway. They downloaded the South Point app. They put, you know, made an account, and they made a bet right there. So this is fun. This is way different for us in these deals. And I think that the sky's the limit for NASCAR has the biggest upswing as far as betting goes.
And I think NASCAR's got to be thrilled with it, too, from a TV perspective, because, again, you're going to watch a sporting event, and in this case, an auto race, much different than you would when you have a ticket, when you have a vested interest, compared to when you don't. And so it's always fun. Do it for entertainment purposes, folks. If you make a few bucks, that's great. Stay within your means. Enjoy it.
Have fun with it.
And have fun with it.
Supposed to make the thing more fun.
Absolutely.
Well, we're talking this week. We last week at Phoenix, like we said, the cream rose. You had Martin Truex. You had a lot of guys that we were used to up front, guys winning stages that we're used to seeing up there. So we kind of got back to normalcy. This week, we head to Atlanta. Now, Atlanta Motor Speedway is a place as a driver that is extremely difficult. It's super fast. It's where's the tires wear out like you can't believe. Anytime there's a caution, after two laps, if there's a caution, I'm calling my crew chief going, four tires, please. You know, this is a tough track to drive on.
You know, you taught me a great point about this course. I remember a few years back you said to me, this is a rough course. And I thought to myself, what did you mean? And I explained that, go into a little bit more detail compared to, let's go, the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, Brendan. And you said the tires wear out a lot quicker. Why is it so rough? And have they ever considered to say, you know what, let's make it smoother?
Don't say that word. Don't say it.
See?
No, so Atlanta's rough. The asphalt, the aggregate is old. It's been there a long time. It's really bumpy. The seams are big with seam sealer, which makes the tires not stick. And the tires, like Darlington, they get chewed up. It's like sandpaper on those tires. And actually, a couple years ago, they talked about repaving this track, and all of us drivers went to Hawk and all the guys down there and said, please don't repave. We love this place. And they didn't. It's been to patch that baby up is like patching Humpty Dumpty, but they put it back together and we love it. And the fans love it because it makes for a difficult race. It means you're slipping and sliding more often. It means you're getting tires more often. You have comers and goers. It's more fun to watch a race when the speed is so vastly different. And what I think it's done right now is I think this week we're going to see, because Atlanta is so different, because Atlanta is, for a mile and a half, it's not like Vegas where it's got that asphalt that doesn't chew tires up as much. That I think what you're going to see is, I think you're going to see the return like Phoenix. I think you're going to see the guys up front that we're expecting to be up front at the start of the season.
So drivers have to adjust by course, which would mean the crews and the philosophy.
Crew chief, the crew chief has to stay on top of everything.
See that? I'm noticed, folks. You see, man. So next week, the odds are going to be a little bit more tighter because I'm taking all this information down.
Well, and our starting grid is the top 10, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, as Jeff Motley likes to say, Stephen Hawking's theorem. He left us dark matter and the starting order for NASCAR. Chase Elliott, fifth, Kyle Larson, Kevin Harvick, Christopher Bell, William Byron, and Ryan Blaney round out your top 10. But now, when you talk about betting for the top 10, the odds to win this race, let's just get right into it since we're here. The odds at the South Point to win this race. We got the favorite, and now, once again, we went from last week, Martin Truex Jr., double-digit winner. Mm-hmm. Now it's tightened back up. Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, all at plus 500. Chase Elliott, Brad K., Joey Logano at plus 800. Oh, my God. Kyle Busch is 12-1, a double digit on Kyle Busch. Ryan Blaney and William Byron, 20. Alex Bowman, Kurt Busch, Christopher Bell, 30-1. These are South Point odds. Tyler Reddick at 80-1. Then you got Austin Dillon, Matty D, Eric Almirall, Bubba Wallace at 100. The field at the South Point is 30-1. There's some odds there right there. I mean, it doesn't take a guy. Like I said, me and Jeff may be a little more race savvy every week. But, Vinny, even you can look. And if I tell you Kyle Busch is 12-1,
That's I want to pay attention to that because that I want to I use it as intel. You know, we oftentimes
he finished second in this race last year.
And we oftentimes talk about professional bettors and what they do, and you know, do you know some folks? Listen, they try to shy away from some operators. Don't shy away from professional bettors. Use professional bettors' opinions as good intel. And in this case here, now I'm not going to say that I'm going to go back and just automatically, well, Brendan likes Kyle Busch's price and automatically just move it on air either. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to pay very close attention to say, oh, wait, all right, Kyle Busch here. Maybe we adjust like a Kyle Larson or Denny Hamlin up a little bit to try to attract someone. Because what I want is churn. I want as much interest and betting amounts on all of these drivers here. And again, I think we're going to get some on Harvick. He won last year's race, right? He's the defending champ here.
Nine top tens in 10 races here. Average finish is 6.3. I mean, Harvick, absolutely phenomenal here.
You might not have seen Truex, even though it's a different track based on what you're saying, a different surface, right? Because he won last week, right? Why? Well, I think people are going to say, well, maybe he can get on a little bit of a roll here. You said he's finished well
here. And he's a mile and a half master. I mean, this is a guy that at this track has an average finish in the last 10 races of 7.5, and mile and a half in general, 7.3 every mile and a half.
Right.
Truex has been the man on these things, but he was 11-1 last weekend. This week, we jump him up to 500. I still like a plus 500 number even on him.
Well, you see, now what I have to do is pay attention not only to free throws and three-pointers and late fouls, but now I got to pay attention to what's happening in Atlanta this weekend, and it's great to have it because, again, I think it's a nice – and I'll tell you what, March Madness is going to add to the handle of this race.
Absolutely.
Folks will take a chance
and take a look.
Absolutely.
There's one guy that I want to look at for a second, and we got a little bit of time, but William Byron. Not great at Atlanta, but he won Homestead a mile and a half this year, and he surprised us. He's got huge odds to win this race.
20-1.
20-1. I kind of like that. I'm just saying.
Noted.
You can look at it. Take it for what you want. All right, when we come back, more of me and Vinny and the DraftKings Top 3 when we return. Welcome back in, everybody. Brendan gone. Vinny Maiulo gone racing. VSiN Studio. We're going to jump right back into it. Vinny, DraftKings top three. And this is one of those bets that my NASCAR fans like a lot. DraftKings also has a top 10. They have a top 5. We pick the top 3. It's a little tighter, a little tough to do. And normally they follow the odds to win the race because, of course, you know, the same favorites are going to be there. We'll jump into it, though. The odds right now, we got Kevin Harvick is plus 160. Kyle Larson, Martin Truex Jr., plus 190. We'll note, we don't have a minus number this week. A lot of times on the top three, we have somebody that is a negative a favorite, so we don't. Brad Kay, 210. Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, 225. Joey Logano, 250. Kyle Busch, 300. Ryan Blaney, 450. William Byron at 500. Christopher Bell, Kurt Busch at 550s. Alex Bowman, 850. Then we get jump right into the double digits, which there is a name here that I'm going to mention that I like in a minute, but Eric Almirola, Austin Dillon, 15. Matty D, Tyler Reddick, Austin Cindric, 18. Bubba Wallace, Cole Custer run out the first page at 20-1. And Vinny, no negative number. Like I said, we do this every week. There are some weeks that Martin Truex was minus 125, Kevin Harvick minus 125. This week, Kevin Harvick plus 160. You're reigning. He's having a bad season. I've been betting the don't line a lot lately.
Okay.
But how many weeks in a row can Kevin Harvick be bad? I don't see it.
Well, I think it's a good point, but I also think these prices are a byproduct of what we talked about in the first segment about five different races so far and five different winners, right? And you've got Harvick as the defending champ here, but you also have some Truex again with some success here in terms of finishing in top three and top five. So when you look at these prices, they're very fair and. But I'm also going to pay attention to one. You already mentioned. See, this is where I take my notes. You mentioned you like William Byron as a price to win it all at 20-1. Well, if you like him at 20-1 to win the race, do you like him at 5-1 to finish in top three? So I think, you know, from my perspective, what I would look at from both sides of the counter is current form obviously comes into play, but history at the track as well that we talked about in the first segment. So, but these prices are definitely a byproduct of the fact that it's been so wide open so far.
And that's why you got decent numbers. I mean, guys, that's what we try to talk about. When we talk NASCAR fans, we're trying to explain to you, this has nothing to do with if I like a guy or not. This has to do with how I think they're going to race. And it's tough this year to handicap this. But the one I was talking about, Matt DiBenedetto. Matty D, he's had a rough season to start. As far as finishes go, he hasn't been as bad personally as he looked. But Matt D on this new team, you got to take a lot of his old stats and throw them out. Because he was with weak teams. But right now, the last 10 mile and a half, he was Vegas second last year. He was eighth at Texas last year, which is a very similar track to this. And so I like Matty D on a top three number. I think he could be your long shot top three guy at 18-1. I think DiBenedetto could hit it and do well.
So when you're breaking it down, Brent, you're looking at not only current form, you're looking at some history, but what are the reasons why that, you know, he has, again, he's got a new team, right? So are they still, you know, getting used to each other and some chemistry, right? There's chemistry on a field, and in this case, in some cases, a basketball court. There's got to be some chemistry, too.
There is.
Between driver and team.
There is. And Matt D, he knows he's not coming back next year already. Mm-hmm. He knows that he's his second full year with this team. It's a Penske. It's the Woods Brothers, but it's Penske. But what he's done since he's gotten this equipment has gotten better and better. And, yeah, he had a rough start with wrecks and finishes, but he was running well. But I like that number on him because I think that he could be the guy. He's shown on mile and a half that he's running a lot better with this Menards team. I think he could do it. I think he could get that top three, and I like it. You know, but there's guys like Ryan Blaney, though, who sit there. That's another great returner. Ryan Blaney, who at Atlanta, five races, only one top 10, but it's a fourth last year in this race. And you go to his mile and a half, Ryan Blaney's second best point getter on all mile and a half. He's been seventh, fourth, fifth, seventh in his last six races. Here's a guy that, once again, a good return. Blaney's sitting there at plus 450. Mm-hmm. I like 500 on William Byron. I like Blaney at plus 450, top three.
Well, I think the other part of what you're saying too, and what I'm hearing is the fact that somebody is in decent current form, and I don't necessarily want to say breakout, but there's progression, and I think that's what you want. You know, just like in a horse race too. If you're looking at a particular horse in a race, it may not have won his last two or three races, but if he's showing a progression,
he's come from the outside and finished fifth.
What happened? Was there a bump? Was there whatever the case may be? But is there a progression seen? And what are the workouts? That's the other.
And that's what I try to. I make that analogy all the time with horse racing in here because we're a 40-man horse race. Mm-hmm. Racing is a 40-man horse race. It's hard to pick a winner, but it starts to get easier when you start finding these trends. Where did Matt DiBenedetto run good before? Why has Ryan Blaney run good before? The same exact trends. It came from the horse racing days of, you know, hey, wait, well, hold on. He started 38th. That horse started on the outside. He got bumped going in. He showed. Yeah, but you know what? Now he's starting out second on the rail. Same thing happens in our sport. So when we come back, we'll get to the head-to-heads. Hey, everybody, welcome back into Gone Racing. Brennan Gaughan, Vinny Maiulo, and we're going to head-to-heads. And, Vinny, before we went off air, you and I, or through the break, you joked that you had an interesting happening with head-to-heads lately.
Not lately, but head-to-heads in NASCAR races, an expensive lesson in my career and many of my colleagues. And here's the expensive lesson. When we started putting up the races, you know, you have a future book, and you've got a nice, you know, when you're trying to pick one of 40 drivers, as you mentioned.
It's tough to pick
40-man
horses.
You know, you put 20 or 25 up in a field, you've got a lot more maneuverability. You've got a lot more hold percentage working for you. Well, when you're putting up head-to-heads, even though there's juice involved and a price, and we use a 20-cent straddle here at the South Point, and 20 cents. So if it's minus 130 on one side, it's plus 110 on the other, which is fair. But the expensive lesson was there were professionals out there that just absolutely crucified us. And that's where we had to start breaking down and getting more into and getting more expert opinion. That's where, you know, you listen, very early on, even
There's a few times I called and said, "Hey, what are you doing?"
Exactly. I remember those. Like, what are you thinking? What is this? Are you kidding me about Truex versus
Elliott
in this race?
Let me bet it first. Changes.
Yeah, exactly. Once I heard this line, folks. Boy, if I was only allowed to bet there, it was like, okay, hold on, time out. Wait a second. So, but a very expensive lesson.
Thank you for correcting me on that one, by the way.
But here's the thing. Do your research. Bettors do their research, and NASCAR bettors are very astute. Just like, you know, you have to assume that with any sport.
Yep. Well, let's get into those head-to-heads at Phoenix and see if we can't find some fun numbers. And, you know, we don't normally go through them all at one time, Vinny, but, you know, there are some that stick out. I've been saying that I'm on the don't line on Kyle Busch a lot because Kyle Busch has not been performing Kyle Busch levels. Now, Atlanta, we just talked about how Kyle Busch, second best, you know, point getter last 10 races here at Atlanta, finished second last year, but he has not been running the same. And Ryan Blaney, I just said I liked Ryan Blaney for a top three, and I can get Ryan Blaney plus 120 to a Kyle Busch minus 140. That one jumps out the page at me and says, ooh, I think I like that.
So you like the idea of taking plus 120 because you're going to fade Busch. Would you do it also against William Byron?
Why do I know that you would notice the next one down that I was
going to
talk about?
If you don't like Busch at, versus Blaney, I mean, and you know, you're getting basically the same price. You're going to get 6-5 on Byron as well. I would think that that would intrigue you as well.
It does. Both of those right there. And, you know, I can't find anything fun. They as you notice, these come from the Westgate normally. There is no Kevin Harvick this week in any of these. I've been saying bet the don't on Kevin Harvick lately on the head-to-heads, and there is no head-to-head with Kevin Harvick. So, yes, I do like William Byron also at the plus 120 against Kyle Busch because the same reason. If I'm fading Kyle, I would fade him on both those guys because I think they both have a really good shot to do well.
Very curious as to why there's no Harvick. Especially as a defending chance, right?
I'm telling you, they've been getting beat. Harvick, yeah. People are fading Harvick and making a lot of money on it. Well, and they're nervous to put it up.
Adjust the price out there, right?
I mean, or
kind of hard to leave
out. Just don't put it up. Some of you bookmakers are a little chicken. Colonel Sanders.
I'll put them up. I'll put them up for you. Guys.
Let's get into the group odds so we can get into there. This is, of course, our favorite bet. For me, this is my favorite thing for the fans. You took a 40-man horse race. You knocked this thing down to a 4-man horse race, and this is where you can get some good cheese back on your tickets.
Let me tell you a good analogy with these. These have become so popular. Yep. And, you know, this is a situation where all you have to do as a bettor is pick the driver of these four that's going to have the higher finish.
That's right. Don't have to win the race.
Here's what we've learned and where this bet came from. When we've got the Super Bowl where there's 400 or 500 different ways to bet on the game and you've got a proposition bet on a particular, let's say it's a receiver for a number of receiving, whether it's yards or total receptions, okay? Or will so-and-so score a touchdown in the game, yes or no? The game could be a blowout.
But you're watching for your receiver.
But guess what? Till the very end, you're watching because you've got a vested interest in that
guy.
Player. Okay? So here it's a very similar situation where, again, if you put up in a basketball game, these four players to have the most points. Well, guess
what?
You're watching an index.
Watching every free throw.
It doesn't matter who wins the race. It matters who wins that group. And these have become extremely popular.
These are the most popular bet. And that's from the bookmaker here. The most popular bet in NASCAR right now is the groups. And that's why we love them, especially the bottom. I love getting to the D's and F's. Those are my favorite. We'll start with Group A, though, like we always do. Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin, all co-favorites at plus 265. And Chase Elliott at plus 285. That right there, look, here's the deal. Chase Elliott, look, we haven't talked about him yet on the show, Vinny. Chase Elliott, this is his home track, technically. Chase Elliott only has five starts here at Atlanta. His finishes, 8th, 5th, 10th, 19th, where he lost a lap because he had a tire, and an 8th. This is a great place for him. But you're going up against Truex, who we just said, hot. Is he going to keep going? Kyle Larson, this is the type of track that Kyle loves. Denny Hamlin, But I do like the dog in that one. I don't normally take Group A, but I do like the dog.
Well, I like your thinking on that, and it tells me a lot. Now, by the way, Chase Elliott is 8-1 to win the race in the future book. And you, based on what you just talked about how he's racing and he hasn't won yet, but it's the fact that this is his quote unquote home track. We're very cognizant of that. Again, we learned some expensive lessons on horses for courses and home tracks. So we've had to go to school on a few of these. But Chase Elliott at +285, that's also a bit more of a value play, if you will, in this particular group where you're getting 20 cents the better.
So we go into Group B. You got Kevin Harvick +235, Brad K, Joey Logano, even there at 260, and the dog, Kyle Busch, at +340. I just talked about fading Kyle Busch. Here he is +340 in a group. I'm sorry, it still doesn't entice me.
Well,
even that number does not entice me.
But we also noticed that there was no Kevin Harvick in the head-to-heads, but there is Kevin Harvick in this group, and as the defending champ, you're getting better than 2-1 at +235. Is that something that interests you?
It is.
In this group?
Those two guys are guys I've been fading lately. I look at the middle of this, the Brad K, Joey Logano.
Okay.
The problem is the Penske cars have both been equally strong, but it's very hard to differentiate between Brad and Joey. Looking at the stats, they're all very similar. They're all right near each other. 10 races, 8 top 10s for Brad. Joey, 10 races, 5 top 10s for him. Average finish within a point of each other. But if I'm going to give a nod, it's to Brad. But, man, that I like the two middle guys, but even 340 doesn't entice me to get down there. To
+260 on Brad Keselowski.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll jump into Group C real quick. Ryan Blaney, 235. William Byron, 240. Kurt Busch, 290. Alex Bowman, 330. Jeff Motley isn't here to do his, of course, I love Kurt Busch mantra. But that one, to me, is the widest group, and it's tough for me to handicap that. They're all over the place on stats.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, too, though, you know, it's you're probably going to – I don't know. If you look at anything, if you want to take a shot and you're not sure, A, either pass. You don't have to bet every single thing. We've got to book everything. You don't have to bet everything. But +330, I don't know.
We'll get back to more of this when we return on Gone Racing. Want to rewatch any part of today's show, or any show for that Mr. Maiulo show, my guys in the desert? Check us out at VSiN.com/subscribe. There are multiple other ways you can catch VSiN. VSiN's available on Fubo and Sling. VSiN, we're on iHeartMedia, of course. That's one of our new ones. You can access VSiN on all your Alexa devices. And for all the ways to watch and listen, just go to VSiN.com/subscribe today. And don't forget, Point Spread Weekly is out. Vinny, I get beat on every week because I yell. I think that we screwed this up, and I blame you for this.
Okay.
We're making better smarter. We're costing us money out here. I'm in a glass cage right now, and we got this Point Spread Weekly making guys know how to bet better.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, I'm that guy. Remember, we're supposed to be that guy. You made us the wrong side here.
Well, you know, when in doubt, blame the bookie for, you know, but yet the bookie keeps smiling because everybody keeps coming back to the counter.
Just saying,
so there's a reason for
just
it.
Saying,
you see?
We're making smart.
Listen,
we're making betters too smart.
Listen.
Made your life more difficult.
Somebody's got to stimulate the economy. Leave it to us. We'll do it. We'll just transfer those funds all over the place.
There you go. All right. When we left off, we finished up Group C real quick. We're going to jump right into Group D. We got Eric Almirola, 245, Matt DiBenedetto, 275, Tyler Reddick, 275, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. from Group F to Group D in 2 weeks at +290. If I look at these, Vinny, I'm going to start off with, remember I mentioned earlier, a guy that I like for a top three, a guy mm-hmm. that I like for this race, Matt DiBenedetto.
Yep.
I like him in Group D at +275. Doesn't have to win the race, just beat those four guys. I'm high on that one.
You know, when you look at these prices of all these groups, Brendan, here's something to think about. And again, folks, you don't have to bet every one of them. But when you're laying 11-10, let's say in a football game or a basketball game, you need to break even. The break even point is about 52, just under 52.4%, just to break even. If you're hitting 55%, you're making money. If you bet three of these groups, okay, at $100 a piece, and you're getting a plus price on all of these, right? Now, you're going to invest $300, but if you win one of them, you're going to come out ahead.
Even.
All right. So, again, that's another way. And I think that's another reason why they've become so popular as well, because folks will take their $20, $50, $100 and spread them out over the – you know, it's like this on the Super Bowl. Again, I use the Super Bowl as the analogy simply because it's the single most wagered event of the year. But, folks, the average person, let's say they bet, you know, $100 on the game, right, or $200 on the game, $220 to win $200. They'll take an extra $100 and spread that out over the course of five or six bets. And they're always in bet. So it's the same thing we're seeing here, and that trend continues, which is another reason why the groups of four are so popular.
And Matty D, to me, I got that one. Tyler Reddick's been good, not good enough. If I look at Ricky Stenhouse, who's moved up, average finish in the last mile and a half, 21.5. Matty D, 16-1 in the last 10 mile and a half. That to me right there says I like DiBenedetto. I'm sticking with him in that one. Let's jump into Group D here, Vinny. We got Chris Buescher, 240. Ryan Newman, 275. Bubba Wallace and Cole Custer at plus 285 each. Newman is this guy that I call him the sneaky assassin. You don't talk about Ryan Newman all day. TV doesn't cover him. And you look at the finish order and you're like, hey, did I see Newman in the top 10 there? And there he is sitting 11th, 9th, 8th, 12th. I like Newman when you put him down in these Group E's and F's. He's just so sneaky. I mean, he just ends up there.
You know what's interesting about this group is one of the guys that we is listed, and again, here at South Point, we'll book these with 19 different individual drivers, and then we put the rest of the drivers, the other 21, in the field, so you're getting a group of field. Okay, and so all but one of them, and that would be Bubba Wallace, who's at 100-1 to win the race. The others are all in the field. So that speaks back to the point here. You've got long shots here, but again, they don't have to win the race. You're in
just
action
in
with this group of four long shots. Who's going to have the higher finish? And I love what NASCAR does in making it official. They'll list every driver, no matter how they finish or if they don't finish.
Yep.
You know how that works
finish
out.
The order. We always do it. Chris Buescher's good, but Newman plus 275, that's my favorite there. Group F, you have Ross Chastain. This is our Ron Flatter group. We miss old Ron. We love you, Ron. Ross Chastain, 245. Eric Jones, Chase Briscoe, 275. Michael McDowell, your Daytona winner, plus 290. This is always, once again, normally one of the more difficult ones to handicap. But Vinny, Michael McDowell, plus 290. They've been running much better this year. Eric Jones, Chase Briscoe, they haven't quite run. Eric Jones had a good week at Vegas, top 10 a couple weeks ago. You know, could that bode well for them? I would keep my money either on Jones or McDowell there. Briscoe hasn't shown enough speed yet.
McDowell on this particular surface, is that a factor? I think that came into play.
His experience.
And I think, you know, look, no question about it, a triple-digit winner, better than 100-1 in many places to win Daytona, and he did, of course, cash. But the fact that he is the longer shot here also speaks to, I think the surface certainly came into play in the thinking with this one just under 3-1.
He's got a lot of experience, but yeah. Eric Jones has been probably running the best out of those guys, but it's a tough one this week for us to get to. So I actually am going to stay out of Group F, which normally I like to jump in there. We got one last bet we've added here in the last couple of years, Vinny. It's the team race winner. Joe Gibbs is plus 210. Hendrick Motorsports, 260. Team Penske, 300. Stewart Haas, 450. And then look at this gap. Look at this jump. 18-1 for Chip Ganassi. RCR, 33. JTG, 80. Roush Fenway, 80. And then the field is 16-1. Here's the thing. This sport has four bigs and then a couple that, you know, can win, and then the rest of them.
And then there's everybody else.
And that's what people don't, that I always try to tell people about our sport. But for me, Hendrick Motorsports has been great to start this season. Mm-hmm. Joe Gibbs, though, also, that's why they're the two favorites. But I think the sleeper there, you asked earlier about Brad Kay when we were off air, Penske Motorsports plus 300. I do like that.
Team Penske
like
at 3-1. Well, I think you know the other thing that you're looking at here, though, is history. I think also history at the course, current form. You're compiling those things together here. But if you're going to get 3-1 and you like that there, look, that's as good a bet as any. But this one, you're not going to pick multiples. You're going to go with the one you like. It's not like you're going to go into different, you know, with the groups.
Penske
you've got
only has three teams.
Group. Yeah.
The others have four, but I still like the 3-1 on Penske. I think that's good. Well, you know, Jeff Motley's not here this week, and we, of course, do our league every week. And Vinny has graced us. He's going to make five picks. And, you know, I've had the lead in our season all year. I started off strong. I've hit winners every week. I've had a great run. Last week was the first week I was over, so I was last week.
Ooh.
And Motley was the winner because he picked Truex at 11-1 to win. So the best thing about Motley not being here and me and being in charge of the mic, I'm not going to talk much about last week. It's over. So we get to go right into the picks because I promised Motley that I would at least mention that he won, and that's it. So I mentioned it.
All right.
He won. And that means he gets to pick last, of course, because that's the way we do it here. And me being last week means that I get to lead the field in picking. And now that I'm not in the lead in our group, I'm going to get out of the race winners because it's just too hard, like we always talk, to pick that winner in the 40-man horse race. But I am going to go in the top three. I'm going to take Kyle Busch and Ryan Blaney. I'm taking two top three ones.
All right.
I like Kyle, even though I'm saying the don't line on Kyle. Hedge my bet. I'm going to go don't line on Kyle, but hedge it with a top three because Kyle Busch can return to Kyle Busch anytime. And Ryan Blaney plus 450, I like him a lot. I'm also going to take Ryan Blaney head-to-head against Kyle Busch. So I'm sticking in head-to-heads plus 120 there. Then I'm going to go and jump into the group matchups. Group D, Matty D. I've talked about Matt DiBenedetto a lot. I want Matty D in there. Ryan Newman plus 275 in Group E. That is my last pick. Those are my five. Now we're going to go, since the pit crew finished second and they gave me their list already. We got the pit crew picks of Brad K plus in the top three at plus 210. Denny Hamlin top three plus 225. Kyle Busch top three of plus 300. If they get all three of them the top three, I think we're screwed. Joey Logano group B at plus 260. And Kurt Busch in group C at plus 290.
Mm.
I do like that Kurt Busch. They're going on the Jeff Motley. I think he's up to 230 even now. The odds have changed since we printed that. And then Mr. Motley, even though he's on the road, he gave us a shout-out. He gave us his picks this week.
Fire away.
He has gone Logano top three at plus 250. Elliott group A. We talked about Chase Elliott in group A. Apparently he wasn't listening, but he liked it. We're going to go head-to-head in group E. He's got Cole Custer at plus 285 in group E. Blaney over Kyle Busch also betting the don't line. And Penske plus 300. It's almost like great minds think alike.
Where is he? He's here. He's in the studio somewhere.
And our huge guest picker this week.
All right.
We get to see how Vinny picks on our picks this week.
Well,
we're going to grate you next week.
Some bookmakers, we originally started on the other side of the counter, so it's always good to go back to sure. some roots here. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a chance here with Brad Keselowski to win the race. We got him at 8-1 here at the South Point, so that's the number I'm going to use. As good as any driver out there. And, again, I know he's not been in necessarily the greatest form. I'm okay with that. But, again, I'm going to also take into account five different races, five winners. I'm okay with it.
Let's go for six.
All right. Let's go to head-to-head. I'm going to go with Martin Truex Jr. I'm going to lay a price here against Joey Logano. Martin Truex at minus 130. I'm going to go with Keselowski head-to-head at plus a dime against Kyle Larson. And I'm going to take another dime against Denny Hamlin. So Keselowski is all over my board this week. And in Group C, I'm going to go with Alex Bowman. Plus 330 over Ryan Blaney, William Byron, and Kurt Busch.
You're going head-to-head against the pit crew there.
Brilliant.
Well, we've given you our picks. We've done our deal. Ms. Mariola, thank you very much. Last minute here. We appreciate you filling in for Mr. Motley.
It's always good to be here.
I wish people could understand. I mean, for me, it's just these are the guys I've grown up with. It's you and Jimmy and Chris. And, you know, but the folks at home, I wish they could understand, especially the NASCAR guys, the amount of knowledge that they half the things you said, I bet a bunch of our guys don't even understand.
Well.
But you just the knowledge you bring, thank you so much for bringing it in.
Well, I hope that it's been informative and entertaining. Brendan, it's always good to be with you, and I look forward to seeing Jeff real soon.
And, of course, we have basketball this week. My Guys in the Desert, your show.
That's right.
This is your week, baby. This is Forte, Super Bowl and March Madness.
And I'll be spreading out throughout the network. Do Gil Alexander this week as well. Of course, Michael Lombardi, all the show. If there's a show, we'll all be sprinkled.
You'll be there somewhere. You don't help out with that point spread weekly thing, do you?
No, I write occasionally. I'll do an article, but it gets in there, and then the New York Post as well.
I don't get it. I don't know why. Why do we help them out?
Get that churn. Interest. More and more.
Well,
keep betting.
Thank you guys for tuning in this week. There's your bit about Homestead, Atlanta. We'll see you next week when we break it down. Motley returns, and hopefully we can get this thing straight one week. Thank you guys. See you soon.